the next couple of weeks is not going to be good for India. We have to be strong.
COVID ravages India. It's Monday, April 26th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We're online. You can find us daily at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, one place in Asia remains COVID-free. The global impact of George Floyd, recognizing a genocide, germ-fighting tech, Asia at the Oscars. It's all on today's VOA Asia. India reported nearly 315,000 new COVID-19 infections last week, the highest one-day total posted by any nation during the year-long global pandemic. The devastating second wave of the COVID-19 pandemic in the world's second most populous country has brought its health system to the brink of collapse, even in its biggest cities. Experts say super spreader events and a more infectious variant could have caused the surge in India that is now the epicenter of the global pandemic. Anjana Pasricha reports from New Delhi.
Patients sharing beds in a New Delhi hospital. In India's shuttered cities, the only crowds are outside hospitals and crematoriums as families scramble to get beds or cremate loved ones. The exponential rise in COVID-19 cases as a second wave grips India has brought health services to breaking point, even in cities like Delhi and Mumbai with the best equipped hospitals.
The influx of patients is so much that we have to treat on the wheelchair, sometimes you have to treat it in the ambulance itself.
It is the worst public health emergency in memory, as hospitals run desperately short of beds, medical oxygen, and key drugs.
It was worse than a tsunami. It was worse than carpet bombing.
Prime Minister Narendra Modi has called India's second wave a storm.
Corona sankat mein desh ke anek hisse mein.
The coronavirus crisis has led to a massive demand for oxygen throughout the country. We are taking steps to address this very quickly.
Aur puri samvedanshilta ke saath kaam kiya ja raha hai.
It will be too late for those already mourning dead relatives.
I brought my wife here in the night and she was well and talking to me. Around 2 a.m. in the night, she told me that she is not getting oxygen and the hospital is not providing it to her.
Authorities have been criticized for allowing super spreader events such as a massive Hindu religious festival and packed political rallies led by top leaders in recent weeks. Experts say a more infectious variant is also driving the relentless rise in cases.
It's known that this variant is more transmissible. It moves more easily between people, and it is able to evade the immune response in some cases.
The second wave that has made India the epicenter of the global pandemic is not expected to peak soon.
In a situation where cases are rising very rapidly, we're already a little below 300,000 cases reported yesterday, and we're at about 2,000 odd deaths. Our vaccination program is faltering a little bit. We were a little below 3 million vaccines yesterday. So all of this together suggests that the next couple of weeks is not going to be good for India. We have to be strong.
That will be a challenge for an exhausted healthcare system.
I think we are nearly crumbled and crashed, I should say. I don't know how we are going to resurrect. Let's all vaccinate everybody. Let's all save lives. Let there be more beds. Let there be more oxygen.
That is also the cry from people questioning why authorities did not prepare adequately to handle a second wave. Anjana Pasricha for VOA News, New Delhi.
These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. Thailand sets daily record of COVID-19 deaths for second day. Pakistan offers key medical supplies to India. Myanmar shadow government welcomes ASEAN call to end violence. New Chinese decree tells religious leaders to support the Communist Party. Asians dominate Oscar nominations. Expanded coverage of all these stories and much more can be found online at Facebook at VOA Asia And we invite you to stop by the voanews.com website. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We continue with VOA Asia. Vanuatu, a remote chain of more than 80 islands in the Pacific, is one of the few countries in the world where the coronavirus has not spread. How did they do it? Ginny Stein has more for VOA from Vanuatu.
Vanuatu was very lucky in that we closed our borders right at the beginning.
Not one case of community transmission, although three people have tested positive while in quarantine.
The message this small country is trying to tell the world is, in all your considerations, please give some serious thought to the fact that we are COVID-free.
Armed with limited testing kits, Vanuatu took action to make use of what it had. It's been carrying out pool testing of new arrivals to conserve use of its resources.
We've got a very good monitoring system, quarantine monitoring system in Vanuatu that enables us to track it right up front.
This island paradise may be COVID-free, but it doesn't mean Vanuatu is not hurting. In the dominant tourism sector, 70% of tourism jobs have been lost.
The tourism economy is 60% overall, whether directly or indirectly. So, of course, where the borders have gone completely shut. So we went from full lots of tourists to absolutely nothing within days.
Maxel Ansariel shut his tour company when borders closed. He is now helping another tourism operator to sell its assets.
We are selling cars at the moment. The only possible solution we are looking forward for is the vaccine.
Getting hold of vaccines is the government's first challenge. Craig says distribution across a chain of more than 80 islands will be an extremely complex operation.
If we can get vaccinated and support from our more developed partners and the rollout and the doctors and the nurses to come and help with the logistics of it, then we can achieve that. Without that support, it's going to be very, very challenging for a third world medical system that's already has its own, you know, it's running at capacity now.
While life in Vanuatu continues to be COVID-free, lack of tourist jobs means that thousands are trying to travel to neighbouring Australia and New Zealand to work on farms, including 23-year-old Elisha Loloi.
I want to go to Australia because it's really a hard time now with the COVID and everything in Vanuatu is closing down, so I have to go and work to earn some money to come and help my family.
To save its economy, Vanuatu needs its citizens to be vaccinated, and the same for arrivals. Not one dose has yet arrived, but the government continues to hope its program will start by June. Ginny Stein, Port Vila, Vanuatu, for Voice of America.
Happening now in Asia, the wreckage of an Indonesian Navy submarine missing since Wednesday has been found on the sea floor. All of its 53 crew are confirmed dead. The news came a day after debris was found floating about 2 miles from the submarine's last known location in the Bali Strait. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're starting off a brand new week together on VOA Asia. Nice to have you with us. Turkey is considered the country where Asia meets the West. President Joe Biden has recognized that the systematic killing and deportation of hundreds of thousands of Armenians by Ottoman Turks a century ago was genocide. VOA senior diplomatic correspondent Cindy Sain tells us he is the first American president to do so.
Rare images from 1923, shared by the Cineteca of Bologna, show survivors of the mass deportation and slaughter of Armenians by the Ottoman Empire in 1915 and 1916. Some of the images include children packed onto boats in Turkey and lines of refugees trudging along roads. Armenians say up to 1.5 million people were killed during World War I as the Ottoman Empire broke up, a claim supported by some 30 countries. Turkey, which rose from the ashes of the Ottoman Empire in the 1920s, still strongly rejects the genocide label, saying that 300,000 to 500,000 Armenians and at least as many Turks died in fighting when Armenians rose up against their Ottoman rulers. The atrocities are commemorated in Armenia and among the Armenian community worldwide every April the 24th. This week, more than 100 U.S. lawmakers from both parties sent a letter to Biden asking him specifically to use the word genocide in his remembrance proclamation. Democratic Congressman Brad Sherman of California has long advocated for the recognition.
Genocide denial is the last act of a genocide. First, you exterminate a people, then you try to exterminate the memory of the extermination. It is the first step in the next genocide.
Turkey's foreign minister, Mevlut Cavusoglu, warned the Biden administration that genocide recognition would harm U.S. ties with Ankara. Asked about the state of bilateral relations, State Department spokesperson Ned Price said Turkey is a valued NATO ally.
As friends, as allies, when we have disagreements, we raise those, we discuss those, and there's no papering over them.
Hiraj Gregorian told VOA he is not worried about lasting damage to U.S.-Turkish ties.
I think that there'll be some bridges burned. This is symbolically, obviously, important to both, certainly to Ankara, if less so, to Washington. But, you know, in international relations, bridges get burnt and rebuilt because states act on their national interests.
Genocide expert Anit Khosrova helped to facilitate a letter from Armenian historians to President Biden requesting he use the word genocide and cautioned the number of survivors of the atrocities is dwindling.
We have a lot of survivors of the Armenian genocide. Even year by year, they're becoming less and less. But we, till now, we remember and we demand justice, because till now, the Turkish denial policy, which continues until today.
Khosrova agreed with other genocide experts that formal recognition helps to prevent future atrocities against minority, ethnic, and religious groups. Cindy Sain, VOA News.
VOA Asia Facebook is the choice of millions to see and read the latest stories about Asia and the United States. Follow us on VOA Asia Facebook and say hello online or on your smartphone. Subscribe to all of our platforms for free. See, hear, and read and share all of the latest from VOA Asia anytime. VOA Asia is your trusted source for news and great features.
This news from VOA Asia, Tokyo 2020 President Seiko Hashimoto said she remains committed to holding the Summer Olympics even as Japan is set to issue a third COVID-19 state of emergency for the capital and three western urban prefectures. You'll find this and all the big stories on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. As we continue with VOA Asia, the police killing of the 46-year-old black man George Floyd in Minneapolis last year sparked Black Lives Matter protests around the world and demands for a re-examination of injustice, racism, and colonial history. So how will the guilty verdicts handed down this past week against Floyd's murderer, former police officer Derek Chauvin, influence those global demands for change? Henry Ridgewell explores from London.
From the streets of Minneapolis, anger spread across the world and became a global force for change. So has the murder conviction against former police officer Derek Chauvin delivered justice.
It's a step in the right direction, but we must have real reform. You cannot reform racism You can't reform white supremacy.
But eradicating racism that has its roots in centuries of colonial history remains the question. In Britain, statues became the target. This monument to slave trader Edward Colston, torn down in the city of Bristol. Artist Helen Wilson Rowe has replaced it with a portrait of George Floyd.
So even though this is a victory in America and for black people, for us, in regards to George Floyd having Derek Chauvin being convicted for the murder of another black brother, we've got a long way to go and we can't stop here.
Marvin Rees was elected Bristol's mayor in 2016, the first black person to hold the office in any major European city.
This kind of image, this narrative around black men being a threat and some their lives being of less value within the criminal justice system in particular, but in society as a whole, is still with us. And, you know, how we get beyond that, after as it's been built up over centuries, how we get beyond that is a huge challenge for us. And I don't think there are any easy answers.
Adama Traoré died in French police custody in 2016, aged 24. Traoré's family says he suffocated when he was pinned down by officers. The police strongly deny this. No one has been charged and investigations are ongoing. Protests erupted across France last year, demanding justice for George Floyd and Adama Traoré. His family says there is one key difference.
Clearly, if there had been a video, the situation would have been different. There is no video. How many cases are there in France, in the world, where there is no video? What should we do with these dead, these victims?
In South Africa, many who live in black communities say police brutality is endemic, though not necessarily driven by race. Diversity activist Asanda Ngwasheng says the death of George Floyd resonated in a nation once under apartheid.
Globally, we feel the yoke of white supremacy. We feel the foot on our necks as black people. And so when incidents like this happen, they amplify, they remind us that globally, that we have a common suffering as people of color in general. I'm hoping that as the United States reckons with its history of violence, it's going to mean less emboldenment of white supremacists in South Africa in particular, and I think globally as well.
Just as the pain of George Floyd's murder was felt around the world, there is shared hope that his tragic death may be a catalyst for change. A milestone on the long road to justice and equality. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, London.
Making headlines in Asia, six cats of popular pedigree breeds confiscated in a drug bust in eastern Thailand were sold for around $3,000 to Thai social media influencer and popular cat owner Nutch Prosopin at an auction sponsored by Thai police. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, two germ-fighting inventions that were years in the making are in demand since the pandemic began. Matt Dibble has a look.
Though COVID-19 is mostly spread by airborne particles, the pandemic has brought heightened awareness to surfaces touched by many people. Physician Brian Wind has long been concerned by people sharing pens in hospitals and waiting rooms.
They're given a pen on a chain with a clipboard or out of a basket, which every other potential sick patient has used.
He invented a pen dispenser that disinfects used pens with ultraviolet light.
It unravels the DNA and RNA of the bacteria or virus. The dirty pen goes in at the top. Every side of the pen is irradiated with the UVC light. The device spits out a pen just like a paper towel dispenser.
After clinical testing,
they found it was 99.9% efficacious at reducing those common bugs found on shared writing instruments.
Dr. Wind hopes the device will be used in schools, airports, and anywhere that pens are shared. Meanwhile, Alex Horvath was focused on another germ vector, door handles.
I was
constantly repelled by touching door handles, especially in restrooms that were pretty crowded.
While still a student at the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology, he invented a battery-powered door handle that disinfects itself after each use.
So when you engage the door handle, the ring will swipe the surface. It's magnetic inside.
The ring contains a sponge that carries antibacterial liquid. With a new urgency, inventors are finding ways for people to be together but stay safe from germs. Matt Dibble for VOA News.
Six of this year's Oscar contenders are Asian or Asian American, reflecting a greater diversity at this year's Academy Awards. VOA's Penelope Palou spoke with industry insiders on what any wins among them would mean for the film industry and beyond.
All right, let's just do one. Action.
Chinese-American filmmaker Chloe Zhao is the first woman of Asian descent to receive an Oscar nomination for Best Director for her film Nomadland. The film has received six Oscar nominations, including Best Picture.
My mom said that you're homeless. Is that true?
No, I'm not homeless. I'm just houseless. Not the same thing, right?
To tell the story of the road of nomadic living, we have to understand why this lifestyle draws all these colorful characters to it.
Though Chloe Zhao becomes the first female filmmaker of color to be nominated, her past criticism of China's communist regime led to retaliatory censorship of her Oscar-nominated film in China. That is concerning, as China is becoming the world's largest theatrical box office market, says media studies professor at the University of Virginia, Ann Caucus.
This becomes a huge question at the intersection of Hollywood and China, because not only is Chloe Zhao a potential Oscar winner, she also is a director of a future big budget blockbuster film that will need to be able to recuperate huge budget from China.
The Korean-American drama Minari, about a Korean-American family searching for the American dream in rural Arkansas, has also received six Oscar nominations, including Best Picture, competing with Nomadland. Korean-American director Lee Isaac Chung has been nominated for Best Director. The filmmaker says Minari, on the American immigrant experience, should not be stereotyped as Asian.
For me, the priority in this film was to reclaim a sense of humanity, who immigrants are, or who people from the South are, or who people of faith are like.
Stephen Yeung also made history as the first Asian American to be nominated in the Best Actor category for his role as the immigrant father and husband who struggles to build a better life. South Korean veteran actress Yoon Yo-chung has received an Oscar nomination in the Best Supporting Actress category for her portrayal of the South Korean grandma who comes to America to help her family. Yoon Yo-chung spoke to VOA about the universality of her character.
I was just all mother do, universally, Greek or Korean or American. I think it's just a universal. That's why I think people like this movie.
British-Asian actor Riz Ahmed also made history as the first Muslim to be nominated in the Best Actor category for his role as a heavy metal drummer who begins to lose his hearing in the film drama Sound of Metal. Better Days, a drama by Hong Kong director Derek Chung, received the nod in the Best International Film category, and Do Not Split got the nod in the category of documentary short subject. Do Not Split, an American-Norwegian production, captures the chaos of the 2019-2020 Hong Kong riots as China cracks down on pro-democracy protesters. In response to Do Not Split and Nomadland nominations, the Chinese government has banned all local media covering the Oscars live. Penelope Pulu, VOA News, Washington.
That's all the time we have for today's VOA Asia program. Join us again at the same time tomorrow. And in the meantime, find us online. We're at Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and of course, Facebook. We thank you for joining us and our team that brings you this program, Managing Editor Diane Gao, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Amy Hybels. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a terrific day ahead. Be safe. Be well.